afternoon, everybody. What's happening, everybody? Tuesday, August 19th, 2025. My name is Kevin Smith. Thank you so much for tuning into Loud Majority Live. We got a jam-packed show for you guys today. Look, I'm going to give you guys fair warning. Today's show is going to be rough. Today's show is going to be rough to watch based on a story out of Washington. A story that is getting almost no media attention whatsoever. It is a troubling trend in the United States that has been going on for several years now. And for some reason, nobody wants to talk about it. A couple in Washington was given the most unbelievably light sentence imaginable for the attempted honor killing of their daughter. This is going to be a graphic show. It is. Just a fair warning. If you got kids in the room, turn the show off. Because this is something that needs to be spoken about. It needs to be spoken about for a lot of different reasons. I'm going to use some choice words in this show, and I'm going to show some pretty rough images. This is something you all need to know, because this is getting no attention anywhere. It's getting none anywhere. So that was your warning. That was your warning. There's no other way for me to say it. So we're just going to dive right on in to the story. I'm going to do my best to not use this teenage girl's name, whose parents attempted to kill her because she ran away from home because her father was going to sell her off to an older man in Iraq. I probably didn't have to tell you the country. I'm sure you probably could have picked the geographical region where this was from. I'm sure you could have figured it out all on your own. So we're going to dive right on into the story once again. And this sort of stuff is a scourge in the world that people, for some reason, are afraid to talk about. And of course, they're afraid to talk about it because they do not want to be referred to as that very dangerous word, Islamophobic, of course, meaning an irrational fear of Islam. My fear is not irrational at all. My fear is actually quite rational, as we've seen in the UK, as we've seen in Bradford and in Birmingham and in Rochdale and in Rotherham and in London and in Luton Town, as we've seen take over many Western nations, as we've seen in Cologne, Germany, as we've seen in Paris, France, as we've seen in many European nations. Not all cultures in this world are the same. Not all cultures in this world are the same. And it's time for us to face facts here. Because this scourge is coming to this country. It's been here for quite some time. And nobody has the balls to talk about it. And I'm going to use most of today's show to discuss this, but let's dive right on into the story. An Iraqi father is sentenced in Washington for the attempted honor killing of his daughter. Are you ready for this? 20 months in prison. Her mother was sentenced to 1 year in prison. 1 year in prison. Here is the local news story. Guys, just a heads up, this is not easy to watch.
A possible attempted honor killing, which shook the Timberline High School community, now on trial in Thurston County Superior Court. Prosecutors accused both Ihsan and Zara Ali of choking their 17-year-old daughter outside the high school to the point where she couldn't breathe and lost consciousness. Part of the incident was caught on camera from a nearby bus.
Her eyes were rolling to the back of the head. She can tell she was not able to breathe. The look on his face and the way he was squeezing, he was choking her.
Court records state the victim's father had previously threatened her with an honor killing for refusing an arranged marriage with an older man in another country. Several bystanders, including other students, the bus driver, and other adults passing through the area, had to step in and pry the victim from her father's grip.
I noticed her eyes rolling into the back of her head, so right there as I grabbed his hand and I pulled it off, was able to spread his arms apart, and that's when she got free.
Other eyewitnesses described the chaos unfolding in front of the high school, with teens screaming.
Her eyes are rolling in the back of her head. She can't breathe. Someone call 911. Let go. Everyone seemed in a panic.
I would imagine that they would be. This from the Post-Millennial. The Iraqi parents accused of attempting an honor killing of their teenage daughter outside of Timberland High School in Lacey, Washington last fall were sentenced on Monday, months after a jury acquitted them of attempted murder but convicted them of the lesser charges. The husband, who was seen on camera apparently strangling his daughter at the time, was sentenced to only 20 months in jail. Thurston County Superior Court judge handed down the maximum penalties allowed for the convictions. Ihsan Ali, the father, was sentenced to roughly 20 months in prison for second-degree assault, unlawful imprisonment, and fourth-degree assault. He must undergo a domestic violence evaluation, complete a parenting class, and is barred from contacting his daughter for 10 years and her boyfriend for 2 years. A fucking parenting class? Are you fucking kidding me? Let's keep reading. His wife received 364 days for violating a court order, with 83 of them suspended. She too is prohibited from contacting her daughter for 2 years. Miss Ali had previously been barred from the school grounds and ordered not to contact the teen's boyfriend following a separate incident. The couple had originally faced attempted murder charges, but after 3 days of jury deliberations earlier this month, both were acquitted on that count. Mr. Ali convicted of assault and unlawful imprisonment, and the wife convicted of only violating a court order. Violating a court order. Here was more from the local news.
He's about to take a one-way trip to Iraq, scheduled to leave the morning of October 18th. We're not showing the victim or any minors in this case to protect their identities.
And based on your prior experiences in Iraq, did you have concerns about being safe upon your return?
Yes.
What concern did you have about returning to the U.S. afterwards?
Not returning at all.
So that morning, she packed up her things and left home in the early morning hours with just $100, heading to a place where she felt safe, at school. There, a school counselor helped connect her with a safe place to stay at a crisis youth residential center. And she was headed there when her father tracked her down outside the school near the bus stop. Witness after witness have described the terrifying scene that then unfolded, as prosecutors say Mr. Ali tried to strangle his daughter during an argument.
She was gasping for air and her eyes were rolling back to the back of her head.
Her face was looking like pale and her eyes were starting to roll back.
Her eyes were rolling back?
Yes, ma'am.
And when you say they're rolling back, what do you mean by that?
They were rolling them back in the...
Several students jumped in, helplessly trying to pry the victim from her father's grasp as her body was going limp.
I tried to help her, but I wasn't strong enough, and a lot of other students stepped in at that point.
And that's when he was still, like, fighting. He had, like, put her in a lock, and I'm still, like, on his arm. And then they fall to the ground, and I had, like, ripped his arm sleeve off of his jacket. And once I couldn't get his arm off of her, I started punching him in the head.
The victim's teenage boyfriend was also there trying to help, but witnesses say he was punched in the face by Mr. Ali.
I flew back a little bit, and I, like, thought I had to recollect myself and, like, look at myself like that just happened to, like, assure me, like, that just happened.
Why didn't you just let him take her home?
Because he didn't want to take her home.
Because she was going to be sold to an old man in Iraq. Now, obviously, luckily, Luckily, he only got 20 months in prison. But a court order says that he can't see his daughter for another decade. A court order. A court order. You think a court order is going to stop that guy? Selling his teenage daughter to a man in Iraq. Look, Kevin, what are you talking about? Obviously, this guy is a piece of crap. Obviously, there is no overarching, all-encompassing area of, theology that would reciprocate, that would cause this sort of thing to happen. And any criticism of any sort of theology would lead to some sort of insert word here, phobia. Well, what if there were more examples of this? What if, I don't know, it's a right-wing talking point. You know, it's just white Christians yelling, blah, 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 blah. Well, here's an article from USA Today in 2018 about the more than 500,000 women in the United States who have undergone female genital mutilation. Now, for anybody who doesn't know what that is, this is going to be the part of the show where I use some choice words. That is a procedure where part of the vagina is cut out so that women no longer experience pleasure during sex. The reason why they do this is so that women won't cheat on their husbands. This is a common practice in Islamic theology, as stated most notably by famed anti-Islamic activist Ayaan Hirsi Ali, who famously went under this same procedure while being in a refugee camp in Somalia. Some of you will remember Ayaan Hirsi Ali. She was a former member of the Dutch parliament. She reached the Netherlands after fleeing an arranged marriage in Somalia, only to make an 11-minute YouTube video called Submission, which apparently two brothers from Yemen, they didn't take very kindly to. So they flew to the Netherlands and they found the director of this YouTube video, Submission. His name is Theo van Gogh, great-grandson of Vincent van Gogh. And they cut his head off in the middle of the street. Well, luckily, almost 500,000 girls in America have undergone this very same procedure for more than two decades. This from USA Today. You guys know USA Today if you've ever stayed in a hotel and they slip it under your door. Underage girls in this country have been federally protected from the horrific practice of female genital mutilation, a ritualistic of cutting or removing young girls' external genitalia, which occurs mostly in northern and eastern Africa, the Middle East, and a few countries in Asia. Of course, they can't name which ones because that would, let you know where it's happening. Last month, during a trial of a Michigan doctor accused of performing this in America on 9 minor girls, a federal judge, you ready for this? You guys know federal judges. They're the end-all be-all. They're the ones who say that the president of the United States can't do anything. They're the ones who say the president of the United States can't enforce immigration law. They're the ones saying that the president of the United States can't do this, can't do that. Well, one of these federal judges ruled that the law banning female genital mutilation in America was unconstitutional. Yeah, that's right. Of course, the World Health Organization, the National Children's Foundation, and the National Population Fund have all decried this practice as unbelievably cruel. Yet 500,000 women in America have undergone the exact same procedure. Now, what if you don't believe USA Today? Kevin, this is a right-wing talking point. Well, how about Newsweek? Newsweek, that's sufficiently left-wing. Here's an article from November of 2017. An estimated 500,000 women and girls in the United States are either victims of female genital mutilation or at risk of becoming subjects thereto. ICE and Homeland Security investigation is teaming up with the FBI's Human Rights Unit and the Department of Justice Human Rights and Special Prosecutor Section to combat the crime, which is up threefold since 1990, according to the Center for Disease Control. ICE and other agencies are ramping up efforts to identify girls at risk and investigate those who perpetrate this horrific crime. Now, This is a common practice in... This article says some cultures around the world. However, I think we can pinpoint it to just one. But of course, this is not the only problem we're seeing. As I've said, in Rochdale and Rotherham and Bradford and Luton Town and London and all across the UK, Cologne, many Italian towns as well. We have a serious problem in the West. And it's not with the Russians, and it's not with the Chinese, and it's not with the Iranians. Well, actually, it might be with the Iranians, but for a different reason. We are being infiltrated by a people who do not believe in our values. We are being infiltrated by a people who do not think women are equal to men. And I don't mean that in the sort of like Andrew Tate, Myron Gaines, bro sphere, kind of like men need to step up and be men kind of world. I mean, like, ridiculous stories like this one, which made national headlines in 2008 for the murder of two girls in Texas. Not Portland, not Minneapolis, not New York, in Texas. The Saeed sisters were killed by their father because they were too Americanized. He then fled FBI custody for 10 years. And if not for a Netflix documentary, he would probably still be on the run.
We both felt like what we had was very much worth fighting for, and to her it was worth dying for.
Mina liked pink a lot. That was her signature color. If she could have put the world in pink, she would have done that.
Sarah was more of the tomboy, really reserved.
I don't think I ever saw Sarah without a smile on her face.
We were just attracted to each other. On every level, we were just connected. She was the kind of person I could have had the worst day. Within a minute of being around her, nothing else mattered. She just had a very strong presence about her. All she really said was that her dad was strict. And the relationship progressed. She would tell me more and more horror stories about him, basically.
I was with my sister, and my mom called me and told me that Amina said that her dad had touched her. She was so afraid of Yasser, she would not even use a public telephone because she said he gets in everywhere. He knows everything.
My mother came into my room and she woke me up and she was like, I have to tell you something horrible.
How do you tell your child that the love of his life is no more?
I could believe it. Like, it was just so surreal.
He clearly would have had to have a plan on how to get out of town.
How can you have that much blood on you and walk away from a crime scene without nobody seeing you? Somebody picked him up.
I don't think he ever left the States. I believe he's been here the whole time.
Well, now for the first time, the FBI says this may have been an honor killing.
The shame that the family feels because of the woman's behavior causes them to kill her to restore the honor.
We had eye contact. He had a cap over his head, but he still had his mustache.
Now, despite that being a Netflix series and this guy being on the FBI's 10 most wanted list for more than a decade, I'm sure many of you have never heard of this story. You saw Megyn Kelly there cover it on Fox News at the height, the pinnacle of Fox News. I'm sure many of you have never heard of it. Before you go and watch it, just a heads up, like, it's tough to watch. It's tough to watch. But, Kev, these are two isolated incidences. You know, awful things happen in the world. Of course, I just read you a story about how awful things happen sometimes in the world to 500,000 women in America, and nobody seems to really give a shit about it. But how about this? How about this? In my state, Buffalo, New York, the home of Kathy Hochul, the founder, this from the Wall Street Journal, as reported by University of Buffalo, a jury convicts a New York TV executive of beheading his wife. The founder of a Muslim-oriented New York TV station was convicted on Monday of beheading his wife in 2009 in the studio the couple had opened to counter negative stereotypes about Muslims after the 9/11 attacks. Muzamil Hassan never denied that he killed his wife inside of the suburban station that the couple had established to promote cultural understanding. The jury deliberated for more than an hour before rejecting his claim that killing his wife was justified because he was long abused by his own wife. The Pakistani-born Hassan had been served with divorce papers a week before his wife's body was found at the offices of Bridges TV in Orchid Park, where the couple had lived. Hassan was arrested after walking into Orchid Park police station and calmly telling the officers his wife, who was slender and several inches shorter than him, was dead. The prosecutor said that Hassan bought two hunting knives less than an hour before the attack, cut his wife's head off. Why? Because she wasn't sufficient as a Muslim wife. But look, Kev, that's just three incidences. That's just three. You know? I mean, we could talk about the 2008 honor killing of Sandella Kanwala, who was murdered by her father in an honor killing. No, I mean, we could talk about that. We could talk about that one, too. That was in Atlanta, in Clayton County. We'll talk about that one. We could talk about Noor al-Maliki. I'm saying all these names wrong. Who was killed by an Iraqi immigrant who used her vehicle to strike her and kill his daughter, 20 years old, in the Phoenix Valley parking lot in 2009. Why? Because she had shunned an arranged marriage to her first cousin back in Iraq. Should I keep going? Jordanian-American Ali Mahmoud Irsan was sentenced to death in Texas in 2019 for the murder of two of his cousins. Why? Because they renounced Islam, which of course is punishable by death in that book, you know, the one we're not allowed to mention. There is a serious problem in this country. We have a very, very serious problem. But when you call it out, when you call it out that not all cultures are the same, you get called an Islamophobe. Like Mayor Adams did the other day when he slammed Zohran Mamdani for wanting to decriminalize prostitution, saying, "I don't know where in the Quran it states that that's okay." Mayor Eric Adams rebuked Zohran Mamdani for the longstanding push to decriminalize prostitution, questioning how someone can call themselves religiously guided could ever support sex work. Yeah. I can't be more clear. I'm a man of God, just as Mamdani said that he is a Muslim. I don't know where in the Quran it states that it's okay for a woman to be on the street selling her body. I don't know what Quran he's reading. It's certainly not in my Bible. And as a man of faith, I don't quite understand what religion supports prostitution. But it doesn't matter. He came out with those very obvious statements and then was slammed as Islamophobic. Well, I've got a giant hole in Lower Manhattan that would give me a couple reasons to be. There is a problem facing the West. When you import the third world, when you import people who do not share your values, you get scenes like this one. And I'm going to show you guys the entire video, and if some people aren't going to like it, It's gonna hurt some people's feelings. Someone in the chat named Caitlin Marks says, how about OnlyFans and Pornhub being owned by rabbis? All right, get rid of those too. I think OnlyFans is one of the worst things that's ever happened, I don't know, to in the history of culture. Ban that immediately. So, quick-witted argument there, shot down. The only difference this time is that this one happens to be on video. In Washington, where the father got 20 months in jail for this. If there's kids in the room, turn them around. There this guy is. Top of your screen, grabbing his daughter. Why? Because she wouldn't be sold to Iraq to an older man in an arranged marriage. Mind you, she is 17 years old. Show you this. Why do I show you that? In just a second, I'm going to show you the police body cam footage, and your heads are going to explode as the mother and the other daughter in the situation proclaim that the father did nothing wrong. Why do I show you guys this? And why do I want you to show this to people? Because this story will not go down as an attempted honor killing. Why? Because the jury found him not guilty of it. Despite the fact it very obviously was. The daughter ran away. Ran to the school. Which you're going to see the police talk about in the body cam footage. Ran away to the school because she was going to be sold to an older man in Iraq. The father then comes and attacks her outside of the school. Nearly choking her to death. This is textbook what an honor killing is. The only difference is here there was somebody to stop it. And to all those kids in that school who stood up and who fought back to that boyfriend who got punched in the face by this fucking monster who should have his fucking balls cut off and fed to him, I applaud you. This will not go down as one of those cases. The one in Buffalo where the guy cut his wife's head off for not being sufficiently Muslim, that wasn't an honor killing either. The Saeed sisters, that was. How many more are out there? I would urge anybody, if you are interested in this topic, please follow people. Look up people like Majid Nawaz and Ayan Hirsi Ali and the people who are speaking about this. The people from this community who are speaking out about this. Because this is a serious problem that we are importing into our country. And this is why it is so important to vet people before they come in. The father that I showed you before that killed both of his daughters married his American wife when she was 14. Later on, went on to sexually abuse his daughters, who later recanted their statement because their mother was afraid to be killed. All of this is in court records. All of this is in documents. All of this is in subpoenas and indictments. Yet this guy was allowed to stay out on the street to kill both of his daughters because they were too American. There is more of this happening than you know. And this is a problem that if we do not confront head on, is going to be something. It's going to be something we can't come back from. Here's the police body cam footage that I'm going to show you in a second. How this guy just doesn't, he just doesn't even care. He is completely unfazed by what he just did. And how his wife continues to yell, he did nothing wrong.
That's the suspect or victim?
That's the guy that was hitting the gun. Hey, God bless you. Yeah.
He did nothing wrong.
He did. Well, he was trying to kill us.
Hands behind your back. Hands behind your back now. You guys step back. Cross-reference my runaway call. The suspect aggressors going to be
really aggressive. So he's, they're in there.
Let me get my get up. Okay, we're gonna walk to my car over here, okay? Hang on.
You can hear her yelling right now. That's my husband. He did nothing wrong.
Okay. So just right. So you're detained right now. Okay. You understand that?
Okay. I want to speak with my daughter.
You're not speaking to anyone at the moment.
Yes, I want to speak with my daughter.
You will not speak to your daughter.
Why? Is this my daughter over here? I want to let her to go to take her mom back to home.
Okay, well, we're investigating a criminal investigation right now.
Just let me to tell her to take her mom. Not like that. Just like I tell her to go home, she will go home.
Do you understand each of these rights I've explained to you?
I want to speak with my wife. Let her go home.
Do you understand these rights I've explained to you?
Zahra!
It's a yes or a no, okay?
Zahra, ta'ay hna!
No, he doesn't understand the rights because he doesn't believe in those rights. He doesn't believe in the culture in which has put him in the back of a car for damn near choking his daughter to death.
Everything's audio, video recorded, okay?
Okay.
So do you understand these rights I've explained to you?
Hanin! Zahra! Akhdi siyara minna waddiha libuqoha!
I need a yes or a no, okay? Or I'm going to assume
you don't want to... Akhdi siyara minna.
According to one of the school staff, she ran inside to the admin building and was just saying somebody was trying to hurt her. I don't know if she was talking about, probably I'm assuming her dad. And then at some point she walks back outside and her mom and sister located them in the school parking lot and said she tried to confront her and she wasn't willing to go home with them and ends up getting behind her and choking her, dragging her, trying to get her to come. At that point, the bystander here interjected and tackled dad and got him detained on the ground, and I got her cuffed him up. She's 17. She doesn't want to go home to the parents, but that they're the legal guardian.
Yeah.
There's no...
Now, is she going to start choking her to get her home?
Yeah, there's no
sense. Well, I think older sisters kind of catalyst a lot of the aggression or physical aggression in the house. I know Mott does like safe place for teenagers that are over 15. If you don't feel safe going home, I think older sisters, because older sister hit her with a broom, allegedly.
Oh, really?
Right. This summertime. Because she's like the discipline for the family, older sister.
Yeah. Okay.
I can speak with my wife.
Not at the moment.
Zahra! Zahra! Get a car to see what you can do. Because Zahra Haram is going to go. Get a car to see what you can do. Get a car from us.
In the car.
Hey.
Let's go. Take a seat.
The switch is going to be able to get the stunning. Let me get the
stunning. Do you need medical attention at all, Hazel?
No.
Do you need medical attention at all?
Give me. Let me just talk to my wife.
So, Hassan, as soon as we get you in the car.
Get in the car. Right?
Just a second, sir.
Get in the car.
I'm here. Zahra!
Just a second? No, no, bro. No, no, not just a second.
Come on, buckled in.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Come on.
Do you need help with the other leg? You guys will be fine.
And here it comes. This is the part that might infuriate me the most.
No.
Okay.
How is this fine? How can you say that?
Assault, second DV. Assault, four. Okay. Do we know?
Hey, so...
Okay,
I'm going to make this clear, right?
I didn't talk with him!
You can't read the captions because the little part on the bottom. She's screaming, he did nothing wrong. He tried to sell his 17-year-old daughter to an Iraqi man. And the other daughter and the wife are crying for him. I have no idea how you fix these people. I have no idea how you rectify this situation. I have no idea how people think you can take people from a culture that does shit like that and throw them into the middle of Washington State and think that everything's just going to be okay. But I got to hear Liz Warren talk about what, the gender pay gap? I got to hear Amy Klobuchar bitching about nothing when Ayaan Hirsi Ali spoke out in Congress, in the Senate, about FGM taking place in America. Not a single female Democratic senator had shit to say about it. Pay attention, Western culture. We have a serious problem on our hands here. This is only going to get worse. This is only going to get worse before it gets better. And it starts by speaking out about it. Why isn't this story on every news outlet? Why isn't it taking over Fox and Newsmax and OAN and every network? I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one who thinks it's important. I don't know. Maybe I'm overreacting. I don't think I am. I don't think I am. I think we have a problem in this country that we are not addressing. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. And thank God. Thank God. We are at least attempting to quell this shit. You want to do this in your backwards ass section of the world? Don't bring that shit to American streets. It's not how we do things here. It's not how we do things. Guys, we'll be back in 1 second. Here's Jeremy.
Hey, everyone. Sorry to barge in like this, but I do want to talk to you about this opportunity for 45% off of every day dose coffee. And this isn't just your regular coffee, folks. If you're like me, you love your coffee routine. I've loved my coffee routine since I was probably 16 years old. Unfortunately, as I've gotten older, some of the coffee that I love doesn't love me back and does cause bloating, does cause jitters, can only drink so much a day, and there's really only so much I can do with it. Now, everyday dose is known as coffee plus benefits. And what I mean by that, folks, is A, there is an ingredients booklet in there that gives you a ton of different recipes on how to make cold brew coffees of all different kinds, lattes, different hot coffees, and more. But the greatest thing about everyday dose is it is known as coffee plus benefits, meaning that you're going to have 100% Arabica coffee, and you're going to also have lion's mane, chaga, collagen protein, and nootropics that keep your brain focused, no jitters, no heart palpitations, and a ton of different recipes. And you're going to get a frother, a tumbler, a box set with a bunch of different gifts in it, an ingredients booklet for recipes, coffee, and more for only $27, folks. 45% off by going to everydaydose.com/LFATV. That's everydaydose.com/LFATV. Why not expand your experiences with coffee? That's everydaydose.com/LFATV.
But the media will tell you this isn't happening. I don't know. I really hope I'm wrong. I hope that 10, 15, 20 years from now, somebody will look back on this program and say, what a crackpot this guy was. What a conspiracy theorist he was. But I don't think I am wrong. As a matter of fact, I think I'm underplaying it. I think I'm severely underplaying it. Guys, I got to talk about something else because... I'm pretty pissed off. Give me 1 second, guys. Old Glory Bank.
When big banks decide who gets access to America's financial systems and who doesn't, who do you think gets left out? Middle Americans who proudly wave their pro-America values. Cancel culture in banking is corrosive. It limits your participation in a vibrant, free market economy. Fortunately, you can fight back. You now have the opportunity to invest in the bank that's investing in a fair American banking system, one based in freedom. Ownership in Old Glory Bank, the pro-America online bank, is here. Old Glory Bank is a full-service FDIC-insured bank that's the alternative to overreaching, un-American big banks. We stand for privacy, security, and liberty. We stand for freedom, family, faith, and the flag. We stand for all the values you stand for, and for the values big banks can't stand. So help keep banking in the hands of Main Street, not Wall Street. To invest in Old Glory Bank, go to oldglorybank.com.
Guys, head on over to oldglorybank.com. That's oldglorybank.com. And use promo code, oldglorybank.com/loudmajority. That's oldglorybank.com/loudmajority. All right, I need something happy in my life. I need something to laugh. Who wants to see Carolyn Leavitt smack the shit out of some reporters here in America? Who wants to see that? Because, you know, none of them are busy focused on the fact that some guy just tried to choke his daughter to death for not being married off to a 50-year-old man in Iraq. They're not worried about that. They're worried about, you know, Russia and Ukraine, something that actually nobody really gives a shit about. Here's Carolyn Leavitt dropping the hammer.
How are you? Good to see all of you. What we've witnessed President Trump accomplish over the last few days has been nothing short of remarkable. We are now 3.5 years into the war between Russia and Ukraine, a brutal conflict that has claimed hundreds of thousands of Russian and Ukrainian lives and cost trillions of dollars. The weakness and incompetence of Joe Biden foolishly allowed the killing to start in the first place. Until President Trump returned to office in January, the bloody and broken Biden status quo was to endlessly force American taxpayers to fund Ukraine no matter the cost, no matter how long it takes, and no matter how many lives were lost. There is no denying that Biden's America Last foreign policy moved the world further away from peace. President Trump rejected that failed approach and instead, over the last 7 months, has relentlessly pursued peace throughout his second term. And thanks to President Trump's efforts, we finally have movement after years of deadly gridlock. On Friday, as you all know, many of you were there, President Trump hosted Russian President Vladimir Putin in Anchorage, Alaska, for a bilateral meeting. This was the first time President Putin has been to the United States since 2015, and the first time he has met with an American president in years. President Putin publicly confirmed what President Trump has said all along. The war between Russia and Ukraine never would have started in the first place if President Trump were in office. This was always obvious to any person with a shred of common sense. Just look at what took place during the last four administrations. Under George W. Bush, Russia invaded Georgia. Under Barack Obama, Russia took Crimea. Under Joe Biden, Russia invaded Ukraine. But under President Trump, Russia did not invade nor take anything. President Trump is the only president this century, Republican or Democrat, who has held Russia in check and ensured peace in Europe. That's because Russia has always greatly respected President Trump and his peace through strength foreign policy approach. But overall, the bilateral talks in Alaska were very productive, and multiple key points were agreed to between the two leaders that truly opened up the door for phase two discussions, which took place yesterday here at the White House. Within 48 hours of that meeting in Anchorage, I may add. As you all know, there were many European leaders here, as well as Ukrainian President Zelensky. They all traveled here to meet with President Trump to maintain the momentum and work toward a lasting peace. Across the board, every leader credited President Trump for his decisive leadership that has reignited the dialogue in hopes of finally bringing this war to a peaceful conclusion. Two quotes in particular capture the progress that was made and the optimism moving forward. Finnish President Alexander Stubb said, "I think in the past 2 weeks, we've probably had more progress in ending this war than we have had in the past 2.5 years. Again, that is the president of Finland, a country that shares a border with Russia. That's what we call the President Trump effect. NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte also summed it up well. Without President Trump, this deadlock with Putin would not have been broken. He is the only one who could do this." Following the encouraging conversations yesterday, President Trump spoke with President Putin by phone, and he agreed to begin the next phase of the peace process, a meeting between President Putin and President Zelensky, which would be followed, if necessary, by a trilateral meeting between President Putin, President Zelensky, and President Trump. As the president said, Vice President Vance, Secretary Rubio, and Special Envoy Witkoff will continue to coordinate with Russia and Ukraine to make this happen as soon as possible. It's very important to remember that before President Trump's landslide victory last November, there was no end in sight to this bloodshed. Now, there may finally be light at the end of the tunnel and an opportunity for lasting peace. That's because President Trump is the peace president, and American leadership is back on the world stage. It should not be lost on anyone in this room that world leaders are coming right here to Washington, D.C. for help. While previous presidents have traveled halfway around the world to apologize for America, President Trump stands up for America, and he has firmly restored America's status as the undisputed leader of the free world.
I just needed to see Carolyn Leavitt beat the shit out of some people for a second, because I was in quite a bad mood after the last 45 minutes. So, look, I can come on here and I can show you videos all day of radical left Democrats acting like complete asshats, but that's not what I want to do. That's not what I want to do by informing you all of what all is going on in the world. Believe me, I would love to. I would love to sit here and chuckle about funny things happening all around the world, like that time some fat lady called me out in Albany this weekend. It was actually quite funny. I'm trying to pull the video up for you right now. It was actually quite hilarious. Where the hell is it? Where the hell is it? Here it is. Here it is. We've got a sufficient Karen alert. So as I said, guys, this weekend I was at the National Young Republican, the New York State Young Republican Conference, and I went outside and confronted some protesters that were protesting Elise Stefanik and us and everybody else. And, you know, I went out there. I want to be clear. It was hot as hell out there. It was unbearably hot. Well, some crazy lady with a microphone started yelling at people. We have an intruder. Everyone, he is to your left, to which I had a little bit of fun. I would love to show you all funny videos like that. This show would be much more entertaining if I did that. It would also be very entertaining if I showed you that those same crazy Democratic protesters apparently needed a little bit of a snack after their useless protest, that they came into the hotel we were at to get some food.
So crazy Democrats come to protest us and then eat in the same hotel as us. That's not bad at all. I mean, the food's good enough, just not, you know, the opinions. That's nice. There you go. Tell the cats I said hello, ladies.
And then they proceed to call the police on me for harassing them. Which was pretty funny because I told the cop I did it because I didn't do anything wrong. I would much rather tell you guys all those stories. I'd much rather show you Patrick Bet-David on Jesse Waters' show last night saying that 2026 may be the death of the Democratic Party.
What's going to happen if we get this deal done with Ukraine? What's going to happen to the Democrat Party?
They'll, one, lose their minds. They will not celebrate. Although if you look at what's going on with polls, CNN, Harry Enten, they can't help themselves. They have to give the polls of what their own people are saying on how this guy's winning, what happened with Russia, the way he got Putin to go to Russia. Then he's got EU, all the leaders from NATO, showing up with Zelensky to the White House. Now they're talking about the follow-up meeting that Putin wants to have in UAE or Moscow. Trump wants to do it in Alaska again as a follow-up. If they get these things going, and then Bessent on the other end is doing the tariffs behind closed doors, and they're getting China to realize you can't go after Taiwan, what else do you want to talk about? What else is going to be your argument? It's going to be a very painful 26 and a painful 28.
What is Patrick Bet-David's philosophy on vacation? It's August. Everyone's off, PBD. You're not off. You're never off. Do you ever take vacation?
I just love the game, Jesse. I literally love it. If you love what you're doing, man, every day it's a vacation to you.
I knew you were going to answer it like that. All right, PBD, always on the grind. Good to see you.
Believe me, I'd much rather be talking about that. I'd much rather show you some former CNN personality who apparently did some TED talk about getting fired and now her sex life is better or whatever the hell Brooke Baldwin is talking about here.
I am no longer CNN's Brooke Baldwin. I am just Brooke. I realize I've been asking the wrong question, which was, why me? And now I know. In fact, it's this. Who am I? And where did I go? Thanks to those imaginal cells, those teeny tiny cells of the butterfly, I realized I was here all along. In truth, right here. In spite of, or dare I say, thanks to being fired. And by the way, after that, divorced.
Believe
what's
me,
gonna happen?
Well, sorry. Believe me, I'd much rather be talking about how insane that woman is than read off to you the last 45 minutes worth of stories. But you know what? Nobody seems to give a shit about what is going on all over the country. So I decided to tell you. So believe me, I'd much rather show you Brett Baer getting pulled over in Washington, D.C., because that's just funny. Apparently, things are so bad in Washington, D.C., that even Fox News personalities are getting pulled over in their G-Wagons. There he is, Brett Baer, 6 o'clock hour on Fox News, getting pulled over in D.C. Because, you know, they're finally cracking down on crime in Washington, D.C. It's getting so bad that cable news anchors are now getting checked out, which I don't know why he was pulled over, but I hope he did get a ticket for calling Arizona too early. You know what? Let's end it with some more good news. Here's Carolyn.
In other news on the home front, President Trump's efforts to make D.C. safe again are working. There have been a total of 465 arrests since the start of this operation on Thursday, August 7th. Last night, there were a total of 52 arrests, including the arrest of an illegal alien MS-13 gang member with convictions for DWI and drug possession. Thanks to President Trump's leadership and the outstanding work of both federal and local law enforcement, dangerous gang members like the one picked up last night will not be allowed on the streets of our nation's capital. Other arrests last night included assault with a deadly weapon for stabbing, parole violation for robbery, murder, outstanding warrant for attempted murder, assault on federal law enforcement officer, and felony assault. Four more homeless encampments were also removed during yesterday's reporting period. To date, a total of 48 homeless encampments have been cleared in Washington, D.C. by multi-agency teams. MPD patrol units are actively working with city officials to locate and clear additional encampments and remove homeless residents off of Washington's streets. And despite fake narratives from the media, again, a significant number of the arrests have been in high-crime areas of D.C. In fact, nearly half of all of the non-illegal alien-related arrests have occurred in wards 7 and 8, the two wards that have the highest number of violent crime, as well as homicides and assaults with dangerous weapons last year. So while Democrats continue to coddle violent criminals, President Trump and this administration are focused on putting them behind bars and unapologetically standing up for the safety of law-abiding American citizens. And the White House will continue to provide all of you with the results of this operation in the days ahead.
Well, hey, let's end it with some good news. What do you say, guys? Look, everybody, Pete Santilli is coming up next, guys. Go to loudmajorityusa.com. That's loudmajorityusa.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Check out our shop. If you want to support the show and everything we've got going on, click that donating button at the very top. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Until tomorrow, everybody, stay loud.